Hi, I'm Laura Richcreek with Laura's Voice. I'm working on the Firecursed series by J.E. Taylor, Book 2, Homecoming. In it, our heroine, Faith Kennedy, must face all kinds of otherworldly beings, from demons and shapeshifters to witches and Kapua, the dragon gods and goddesses of Polynesian mythology. So here's a story I've adapted from Legends of Gods and Ghosts, collected and translated by William Drake Westervelt in 1915. As a side note, Westervelt was actually a pastor from Oberlin, Ohio, and had an intense interest in Hawaiian folklore, which led to his collecting and translating a number of myths and stories, and compiling several volumes between 1910 and 1923. He is considered one of the foremost authorities on island folklore. Here is Puna and the Dragon, or as I like to call it, Haumea Gets Her Husband Back. Haumea is said to have taken as her husband Puna, a chief of Oahu. He and his people were going around the island, but the surf was not very good. They continued looking for a better place and found one where a beautiful woman was floating on the sea. She called to Puna, "Oh, this is not a very good place to surf. Let me show you one that is much further out." Puna paddled out to her, and she led him beyond the sight of his people on shore. So far, he could no longer see the sharp peaks of the mountains. His people wailed when he disappeared, not knowing if he would return nor what they should do. Their leader was lost. Meanwhile, the beautiful woman and Puna swam to Molokai, left their surfboards on the beach, and walked inland. They came to a cave, which was the woman's home. Puna didn't see anyone else inside, and all was quiet. Puna lived with the woman as a kind of prisoner and obeyed her commands. She, in return, took care of him and fed him. They lived as husband and wife for quite some time. One day, as Puna remained asleep, this woman rose, looked over her shoulder at Puna to be sure he was still asleep, and stretched. Her skin clicking as scales emerged all over her back and legs. Talons grew from the ends of her fingers and toes. Her face elongated into a snout with rows of sharp teeth and dripping saliva. She dropped to all four limbs and scuttled from the cave, leaping over the edge and into the water below. What she didn't realize was that Puna had seen her change into her real form, and knew now that she was no ordinary woman, but a Kapua, a Mo'o, a lizard goddess who would kill him as soon as she would let him sleep. Puna could hear his wife's claws click against the rocks as she returned from the water. He feigned sleep until he heard her preparing his breakfast, and her soft steps made with human feet instead of dragon claws. Noticing he was awake, she smiled at him and welcomed him to the table to eat. Puna, knowing he would not live long here in this cave with her, pretended to be happy to see her and enjoy his breakfast. As he drank the coconut water she gave him with his breakfast, he considered the drink and said, "Do you know, dear beautiful wife, what would taste so delicious with breakfast?" His wife betrayed herself with the slightest hint of fire in her eyes at his suggesting the breakfast she prepared was not good enough, but quickly hid her anger, lowering her lashes to cover her eyes, and asked what she could do to make her husband happy. "The water from Poliahu of Mauna Kea, it is cold there, and the water is heavy with ice. When I was a child, my grandparents would bring water from that place for me. I carried that water everywhere. It was so good." His wife, with a tight smile, and her eyes still shadowed beneath her lashes, said, "Your desire for that water is not a hard thing to satisfy. I will go and get the water." Puna protested, "Oh my, no, I would not send you after it, because I know it is far away and hard work, unfit for you, a woman." Before this, when her back was to him, Puna had pricked the water bag with a knife, putting a small hole in the bottom of the water bag. His wife assured him she was indeed able to fulfill his desire for this water and would leave straight away. She picked up the water bag and left their cave. Shortly thereafter, Puna left, but went in the opposite direction. Puna found a canoe and crossed from Molokai to Maui. He found another boat and reached Hawaii, and then at last landed at Kau. He traveled until he stood on the edge of the pit of Pele. Those living in the crater saw him and cried out, "Look, here is a man who can be a husband for our sister." Puna went down into the crater, sat with the people, and told them of all that had happened. Pele listened and said, "Not very long, and your wife will be coming for you. But we will not let you go, or she will kill you. There will be a great battle.
but she has held you from your first wife, our sister Haumea. She needs to find her own husband and not take what belongs to another."
Meanwhile, the dragon goddess went to Poliahu and filled the water bag. She hefted it over her arm, and it was not as heavy as she expected. She began to walk home and noticed her burden was lighter and lighter. She looked back the way she came and saw a trail of water leading all the way up to her.
She realized her husband had tricked her, and she became so angry, she changed to her true form and called all the dragons from Molokai, Lanai, Maui, Kaho'olawe, and Hawaii. She went to Kilauea, stood on the edge of the crater, and yelled to Pele's people below, "Give me back my husband!" They refused to give Puna up and cried, "Where is your husband?"
"This is the husband of our sister. He does not belong to you."
The dragon goddess screamed, "If you do not give up this man, we will fill up this crater and capture all your fires."
Then the dragon spit into the pit, nearly destroying the fire where Pele lived. But the fire moved and rose in great strength, burning off the saliva of the dragons. The dragon goddess and her fellow dragons could not stand the heat even a little while. The fire caught and killed many of them. They tried to hide in the cleft of the rocks, but earthquakes opened the rocks and the fire followed the earthquakes into them, devouring the fleeing dragons. The dragon goddess ran and leaped down a precipice into a fish pond called Loko'aka, or Shadow Lake. She remains imprisoned to this day in that pond, without a husband, scarcely having escaped with her life. This has been Laura's Voice. I'm Laura Richcreek. Thanks for listening. Production copyright 2019.